Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Official memorial services for the nation's 39th president begin today, and Jill Stuckey in Plains, Georgia, will be among the friends of Jimmy Carter and his late wife, Rosalynn, to say goodbye to Jimmy.
I've gotten to know and spend decades with my heroes. Not many of us get to do that, and fewer of us get to feel like they love them and admire them more after knowing them well for that many years.
I'm Jim Crisul in Atlanta, a day of Georgia remembering and paying tribute to former President Jimmy Carter. We'll begin in the town of Americus, about 15 miles from Mr. Carter's small peanut farming community of Plains. Family members and his longtime Secret Service detail will send his body off from a medical center. His hearse will travel to Plains before a four-hour motorcade to Atlanta. There will be a moment of silence outside the Georgia State Capitol before a private memorial service at the Carter Presidential Center.
CBS's Jim Crisula. Judge Juan Marchand has ordered President-elect Donald Trump to appear in person or virtually January 10th, when Trump will be sentenced in the New York hush money case, setting up what would be an historic proceeding. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president-elect appears headed for what's called an unconditional discharge, meaning he'd be a convicted felon in the eyes of New York state law, but face no other court or jail time. Trump's spokesman calls the ruling deeply conflicted and says Trump must be allowed to continue the presidential transition process and to execute the vital duties of the presidency unobstructed by ongoing cases. This is one of four state or federal criminal cases Trump has faced in recent years. Two federal cases have been dismissed, while a Georgia case remains on hold. Trump can still appeal the judge's decision to not dismiss the case. This means we're now one step closer to something we've never seen before. President-elect in a courtroom facing criminal sentencing, a proceeding unlike any other in American history.
President Biden will head to New Orleans Monday, site of the New Year's attack that killed 14 pedestrians. The White House says the president will grieve with the families of the victims. He'll also meet with state and local officials. That home, made famous in the TV series Breaking Bad, is for sale and can be yours.
It's one of the more memorable scenes in a very memorable show. Teacher-turned-drug kingpin Walter White tossing an extra-large pizza right up onto the roof of his Albuquerque, New Mexico home in a fit of frustration. The house, appraised at $340,000, is a tourist magnet, including many who show up to recreate the pizza toss. The family selling it has owned it since the 1970s, and they think it should bring in $4 million or so dollars. Well, there's probably plenty of free, if slightly used, pizza.
CBS's Michael Toscano. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A cold first weekend of January. It will be sunny, though. Today's highs only near 14, wind chills in the teens below zero. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows near zero. A bit milder on Sunday with highs in the upper teens. Right now, it's one above zero.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay, ProfHearingCare.com. I'm Dan Small. A little voice problem this week. I'm getting over another cold, but I will soldier on and get this show done. Today, a look at walleye management, plus how the Fish and Game Forecaster can help you plan your hunting and fishing outings. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Huppe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Huppe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit huppe.com. And all 11 offices of Huppe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins me again from home in Wisconsin Rapids. Well, Jeff, Christmas is just around the corner now. Are you ready?
I guess as ready as we're going to get. You know, kids have, we got the kids their gifts. And, you know, Eileen and I don't do much of an exchange for each other. We, you know, we have the ability to get what each other wants, I suppose, throughout the year. So we maybe have a little thing. I do have one little surprise for her on Christmas Day. And, but yeah, I think as a whole, we're ready for Christmas. We're ready for Christmas break, Dan. That has begun. And, 12 days of my wife and the kids home. I don't know if that will slow down or speed up my productivity on the house. Having my wife here and a second set of hands will be good, but having the kids home, changes the dynamic of everything, but, that's okay. They'll enjoy themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And, well, you know, she can spell you while you're doing projects, watching the kids and so on. But I hope you can get out and do some fishing or some late-season hunting.
Yeah, we talked, Robert and I talked about possibly going and doing a holiday hunt. But to be honest, we really have enough meat for the year. So if we would do it, it would maybe just be to donate meat to a friend of ours or something like that. I do have to start getting ready for some ice fishing stuff. The Ice Fishing World Championships is coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan, or the Grand Rapids, Michigan area in February. And we've got practice and stuff coming up in the middle of January. And so I kind of got to start getting out there, getting things dialed in and set. You know, we have a good amount of ice to do so. It's not a ton of ice, which is probably what we'll see over there. They're not even in ice making weather right now. Their weather patterns on the other side of Lake Michigan are always a little goofier than what we experience here. Yep. So, but we'll keep watching that and see, make sure it actually can happen. That certainly is a concern. You know, last year, the area where they were going to hold the world championship didn't even get ice. So there's a little bit of a concern there, but we'll keep watching it. And, hopefully that won't be a concern this year. We'll have a regular winter, and we should be setting and ready to go. So I got to get out at least and do a little bit of practicing amongst the work at home.
Yeah. Are you officially on the team?
Officially on the team? Yeah. I mean, I'm a part of the team. We're still going to be competing to see who the anglers are that will be competing in competition. But spotters are going to be needed. Coaches are going to be needed. I'll be a part of the team in some form or fashion, but my goal is to be one of the anglers.
Yeah, and you have done that several times now.
I have, and you know, that's always the goal. You always want to be the guy. It's like you talk to the football players. In fact, I was just reading something about Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Packers, where they're worried about how much he gets used, and he's like, "No, man, I want to be that guy that helps the team." So I want to be that angler out there, no matter what.
Well, I hope that you become an angler and that the championship is able to be held and that USA wins. We've won. I don't know. Have we ever won?
We did. In 2010, we won. So we'd love to do it again.
Well, I hunted turkeys again last weekend on Dwight and Carol Pullen's farm in Fond du Lac County. And, of course, I saw 4 deer. 2 bucks and 2 does, could have shot any one of them with the air gun that I was carrying. Of course, I had the turkey shotgun air gun. Did not see a turkey. And the deal was I could hunt in the morning because their son Scott, who's a friend of mine, was going to hunt in the afternoon. So he came out in the afternoon and he shot a doe and saw a bunch of does. And of course, saw a gobbler that would have been within range. And he sent me a photo of the gobbler, which just kind of rubbed in a little bit the fact that, you know, you got to be there when the turkeys are there. Obviously, you're not going to kill one. But that weekend, I also had a successful meeting at the SCI Badgerland Chapter Christmas Party, successful in that Mark LaBarbera and I did some planning for next year's Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV show, which airs in November before the gun deer season. And they had a raffle, and I won a very nice rifle, a Browning X-Bolt Pro Mountain rifle, which I'm going to take in 6.5 Creedmoor, a caliber I have not shot, but it's a good one, they say, for deer. And this is a long-range rifle. So those deer that I saw walking across the crop fields at Tony's place last season at 300 or 400 yards, they're going to be fair game with this rifle next year. So I'm looking forward to shooting that. Well, Jeff, I'm sure you heard this. The Joint Legislative Council Study Committee on Sandhill Cranes has recommended a hunting season on sandhills, and that legislation will be reviewed by the Joint Legislative Council sometime next year. And once introduced, of course, it still has to be approved by the full legislature and signed by the governor, and then the DNR and the Fish and Wildlife Service have to determine what a hunting season looks like. So any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm all for it. If we, you know, if there's an opportunity, I think it would be an enjoyable hunt. I think as a whole, Dan, I think we've proven ourselves to be able to manage a migratory bird like that as we do with many, many other species. I think, you know, it would end up being probably under some sort of federal account as well, because they are a bird that will pass through multiple areas, and it makes sense to me. And if it's a statewide thing only, well, hey, that's okay too. I think, again, we're good at managing that type of stuff. We've come a long way in conservation efforts, and and I've got plenty of places I could go hunt a sandhill crane. Everybody keeps using the term ribeye of the sky, and I'd love to find out.
Yep, I've heard that too. I've never eaten sandhill. I've never hunted them, although they are legal to hunt in a number of states. I agree with you. I think we can manage it. I think the biggest concern is that some hunter might mistake a whooping crane, which is endangered, and they nest here in Wisconsin, for a sandhill and shoot one by mistake. But I did hear that wherever sandhills are hunted, no hunter has ever killed a whooping crane by mistake, thinking it was a sandhill. Sure. We have lost whooping cranes to poachers and to people just, you know, seeing a target of opportunity and shooting at one, but not a legal hunter. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes and to see if we have a hunt. And yeah, and to prove once and for all whether they're ribeye of the sky or not. I wonder if they're like geese. You know, a young goose, the breast is like rare, is like beef if you grill it slice it, you know. An old goose, I think jerky is the best thing you can do.
Yeah, mix it in with some other meat, yes.
yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, we will keep you posted on that one, folks. I'm sure you'll hear about it elsewhere as well. Well, coming up, Rand Atkinson, he is the founder of the Walleye Restoration Foundation. He explains what he thinks is responsible for the decline in walleye numbers in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan, and offers some solutions. And John Lehman, president of DataSport Inc., talks about the effectiveness of the Fish and Game Forecaster and the Moon Clock, now available for 2025. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Step outside, let us be your guide, Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot Breakwater Falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. Huntworthgear.com. That's Huntworthgear.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now from Star Lake, Wisconsin is Rand Atkinson. He's founder of the Walleye Restoration Foundation, and he's a fisheries biologist who worked for the Wisconsin DNR back in the 1980s in both cold water and warm water hatcheries, working with trout and walleyes, and then he moved to private fish production and lake management. He served for 13 years on the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, representing Marathon County, and he represented the Congress in the formation of the original DNR Walleye Management Plan. He says he's semi-retired now, but he's still very active with the new foundation, and he has written a book that's been out for a couple of years with an interesting title. It's called Revolt: Practical Ecology to Save Planet Earth for Our Children. Rand, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Yes, Dan, thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're quite welcome. We'll talk about your book at another time, but I want to talk about the Walleye Restoration Foundation now. What is the mission of this new foundation?
Our foundation is actually to restore our fisheries because it's declining, as far as I'm concerned, at a very quick rate. And walleyes, of course, we have more data than any other fish in the upper Midwest, including Wisconsin. So if you're going to restore something, you need to know why. So we do have 30-plus years of data on walleye. Plus, the other thing is, of course, fish are connected to their habitat, and our habitat's also deteriorated. But is that an excuse? Or is that a beginning for restoration? We have a database. We have enough information of the cause. Well, let's fix it.
Okay. It sounds like a complicated problem, but what is the problem with walleyes in the wild before we get to walleye propagation in hatcheries? What's the problem with wild walleyes?
The walleyes, of course, have dropped. It's been recognized through the Voice Decision research we did and regulation gathering that we have, that you have to have a minimum of 2 adult walleyes per acre to have a fishery. That is a key that we all recognize. The question is, and researchers have approached it, is why, and what their researchers are saying and are alluding to, that they aren't making it through their first year of life. And, of course, if you don't make it through the first year of life, you aren't going to have any population in the future.
Right.
So it's the recruitment, Dan.
Okay. And do we know why?
We really don't. There's a lot of speculation in the North Country, occurring in the ceded territory, or the Canadian Shield area. We're saying that it's the lack of yellow perch. In other words, when they go off plankton, they go on to yellow perch. Of course, that's not the case. case in the Fox River Valley are where there's nutrients, but in Fox River Valley, we've also studied walleye to death. When they go off of zooplankton, then they go on to chironomids, something that's very abundant where there's fertile waters, okay, and invertebrate. So walleyes are very adaptive, but there's a special problem in the ceded territory where there's less nutrients there.
So you're talking about these very young walleyes. They've just hatched. They eat zooplankton for a while, and then they eat the young perch?
That's their major food, and where the bottleneck occurs that they're not surviving, that's the unknown. But that's what the researchers are looking at, but I differ with them. What's the number coming off the spawning bed? There's a lot of variables. Just like you said, Dan, it's complicated.
Yeah.
But I think there's a common thread through the whole thing that we have to start paying attention to, and that probably falls back to actually the hatching and the survival of the walleyes from the get-go, not even through the zooplankton situation to the larger prey. Okay, we have to look at the ecology, and then we've identified the life history. Now how can we do that to tweak to improve the population again?
Looking at the habitat that walleyes exist in, again, in the northern third of Wisconsin and probably northern Minnesota and the UP of Michigan, I would assume that there's some commonality in those waters.
Yes, I agree.
How has the habitat declined?
Walleye spawn where there's rock rubble, but those rock rubble areas are probably not that disturbed during spawning. That's the key. Pay attention to the life history. The next thing I think would be more affected by would be yellow perch. Walleye and yellow perch are closely related in genetics and evolution, but there's a big difference. Walleye spawn on rock rubble where there's water movement, and I'm saying it's related to hydrogeological water moving through rock rubble. Perch, on the other hand, lay their eggs in ribbons or skeins in their hollow tubes, and then those aren't so particular to habitat. If they are spawned and drift in the wind, which is common in the spring, into organic matter and fall to the bottom rather than falling on snags, here we go, back to habitat, old bulrush bed where the vegetation is still standing in spring, they catch them and they keep them off the bottom and you have a better perch hatch. These are practical ecology, things that affect walleye population. Okay, but if that skein falls on organic matter rather than being suspended and caught on vegetation such as old bulrushes or snag, if those areas have been destroyed by development, shoreline development, or snags taken out because my boat would run into it, now you've lost the habitat that supports the perch, that in turn supports the walleye.
Okay, so we have lost some perch spawning habitat, but the problem is greater than just the ecological habitat of these two species. You found that hatchery-raised walleyes are not doing well, and why is that?
I've researched back 100 years in the history of our two major hatcheries, Spooner and the Woodruff Hatchery, and their development, and why we raised walleyes in the first place. Okay, and of course, I was active in figuring out what was wrong with the walleye production at Spooner in the 80s, which you said in the introduction. We learned a lot about walleye ecology just by raising them, but at the same time, I'm not sure in the beginning, and even up to the early 2000s, Dan, all this money we put in the hatcheries, they're not contributing to the fishery. We went from sack fry to fingerlings, small fingerlings, to extended growth fingerlings, which we started in 2000, and they aren't surviving. Okay, so we're putting a lot of effort into them, and they aren't contributing to the fishery. But the bad part about it, Dan, is that they might be detrimental to the fishery. And here's back to the ecology. We're talking about the Canadian Shield, beautiful, pristine lakes, where there's only so many nutrients available. Your native walleyes are spawning, if they did survive, are competing with them. Now, if we add some of the research that we found, Dan, which is in the new walleye plan report, they're found about 80% of the fish that they've sampled in populations of walleyes, both during spawning and during treaty assessment, 80% of them are females. Well, they should be 50-50. Connect this to the hatcheries. Beginning 2018, they had to examine these walleye for disease. That capped all the hatcheries. Tribal, Cooler Hatchery, Woodruff Hatchery, any hatchery that's restocked has to be examined for fish disease. So in this, they have to take a sample that are going to be stocked of these extended growth walleyes in this case, open them up, take a sample out of the liver, or VHS mainly, and they're finding they're all females.
Rand, we have to take a break here. Will you stay with us?
Sure, Dan.
Okay. Folks, I'm talking with fisheries biologist Rand Atkinson. He is founder of the Walleye Restoration Foundation. And we'll continue this conversation right after this. I'm Dan Small. You're listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Folks, I'm talking with Rand Atkinson. He is founder of the Walleye Restoration Foundation. We've been talking about the apparent decline of walleyes, especially in our northern lakes. And we got into talking about walleyes in hatcheries. And Rand, you mentioned that when walleyes were being examined for VHS, for viral hemorrhagic septicemia, 6 or 8 years ago, the researchers discovered that they were 80% female. How did that happen?
That's the question. So in the walleye plan, the department said we're going to spend another 8 years looking at this. 8, 10 years, we'll update you on it. And I'm thinking, chances are, if they're all female coming out of the hatchery at that size, that they're triploids. Triploid is a sterile female. They'll produce eggs, so when they cut these fish open and exam for VHS, they should have saw a white milk sac, in other words, a sperm sac, but they were all 100% female eggs. Was it a sample size? Okay, there's a lot of questions, but the first thing that comes to my mind, growing trout culture, salmon culture, is that they're triploids. And triploids happen when there's a change in temperature and pressure, and we do it on purpose in aquaculture of rainbow trout. We've been doing it for 60 years. So we have all females. By changing temperature and pressure, you can create all female offspring. And that's the first thing that came to my mind, and I'm thinking, okay, what's the ramifications of this? The ramifications are, if you're stocking these extended growth walleyes that are all females, it's like a hybrid vigor. They do not have to put energy into producing eggs, so they put it into growth. So now we have triploid walleyes in the population, okay, that have a hybrid vigor, competing with your native spawners. They're already affecting the population. But are they entering in the spawning and not spawning? They're competing with your walleyes that are spawning. The male-female population is skewed. There's too many indicators that this is happening. If it's been happening a long time, it affects the population.
Okay. Are these sterile females going through the motions of spawning, showing up on the spawning beds and spawning with males, but unsuccessfully? Is that what's happening, do you think?
80% of them are females. You know, they don't cut them open, okay? They're just doing a population estimate. They don't know if they're developed females or not. And the whole population estimate are based on numbers. You've got to have numbers to make it work, and it's got to be done during spawning. These are all indicators that throw me into saying we've got big problems.
Well, triploid, the term, means three sets of chromosomes instead of the usual natural two sets of chromosomes, right?
Correct. And that creates all females, the 3 sets.
Okay.
A normal walleye would be called a diploid. Okay, that's the normal process that nature's created. So if there's a temperature pressure change during that early cell division, the early incubation of the egg, that causes the triploid. If you're spawning walleye, it could happen even before they got back to the hatchery and put them in the incubation jars.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people are throwing, oh, it can't happen, hold it. It's happening. My feeling is, you aren't going to beat Mother Nature. Let's take care of our spawning beds and forget the hatcheries that are contributing. I think the hatcheries could be a detriment, or we got to change their practices so we know. That's just one factor of what we're doing. Well, that's only one small part.
Now, if the problem is water temperature, wouldn't the solution be an easy one? Just change the temperature so it doesn't create triploid fish?
Well, temperature and pressure are related. You change temperature on incubating eggs, you're also going to change pressure, especially in an artificial environment of a hatchery. And both our hatcheries actually run off Lake Voter. The new hatchery runs on the Yellow River.
Mm-hmm.
That's their water source. The Woodruff Hatchery pulls off a nearby lake. I don't want to see pollution at all. Okay, it could be part of the problem, but I'm looking back at the natural. Walleyes on their spawning beds, let's take care of them. Here's another fallacy that we've learned as fish biologists, that walleye spawn on windswept shorelines on the southeast end of a lake because the northwest wind at ice out. Or they spawn where there's running water running through a river. No, mainly in the northern tier, walleye spawn where there's spring water coming in rock rubble. And it's a constant temperature, Dan. So going back to the temperature and pressure, your groundwater is probably at 46 degrees where walleye spawn. That's the same as your well temperature if you have a cottage along a northern lake. So that 46 degrees, that's what walleyes through generations, through time, have spawned on. We need to duplicate that for their survival and get them through the hatching first. So they're diploids. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
We aren't going to beat Mother Nature. So we're approaching that too, Dan.
Okay. So, to wrap this up then, what are you trying to do with the foundation?
Change our fish management so it addresses the problems I guess we've been discussing. Change the habitat. I want to work with lake associations. The walleye plan, the original walleye plan, said we're going to work with lake associations. As a fisheries unit, they have it. Very little. I want to combine our efforts on our lakes programs. I'll even be at the lakes convention. Our lake water quality that we've had for 50 years, we have data. So I want to combine, Dan, lake management as far as water quality with lake management and fish management. Ecologically, it makes sense, and we have to do a better job at it, Dan.
Okay.
Whether we do it politically and educational, we're hitting both ends.
All right. And if people want to learn more, they can go to your website. And can they donate to your foundation there as well?
Certainly can.
Well, we will send folks there, and I appreciate your time, and thank you so much for laying out the problems and suggesting a couple of ways we can improve the situation for walleyes in our northern lakes.
And the rest of the fisheries, Dan, yes.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
You bet, Dan.
And I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Thank you. Folks, that was Rand Atkinson. He is the founder of the Walleye Restoration Foundation. Their website is an easy one to remember. It's walleyerestorationfoundation.org. You can learn more about what we've talked about, and you can donate to help them with their work. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Official memorial services for the nation's 39th president begin today. Jill Stuckey will be among the friends of Jimmy Carter and his late wife, Rosalind, to say goodbye to Jimmy in Plains, Georgia.
I've gotten to know and spend decades with my heroes, and I love them and admire them.
The judge in President-elect Donald Trump's hush money case in New York has ordered Trump to appear in person or virtually January 10th for his sentencing. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
We're now one step closer to something we've never seen before. President-elect in a courtroom facing criminal sentencing, a proceeding unlike any other in American history.
Millions of Americans across a dozen states from the middle of the country are bracing for a strong winter storm. Meteorologist Frank Pereira is following.
We are looking at the potential for wind gusts over 40 miles per hour, which combined with a heavy snow could create near blizzard conditions in portions of the Central Plains.
And that will be accompanied by an Arctic cold. CBS News Brief.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Bronczynski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A cold first weekend of January. It will be sunny, though. Today's highs only near 14, wind chills in the teens below zero. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows near zero. A bit milder on Sunday with highs in the upper teens. Right now, it's one above zero.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is John Lehman. He's president of DataSport, Inc., located in Atlanta, Georgia. And DataSport publishes the annual Fish and Game Forecaster and Doug Hannon's Moon Clock, both of which can help hunters and anglers plan their outings around peak fish and game activity periods. His website is DataSportInc.com. Well, John, thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Thanks for having me back, Dan.
Well, you're quite welcome. Now, we spoke last year about this time, and this is a good time of year to talk to you. Well, any time, I suppose, is a good time, but this is a great time because you have just published now a new fish and game forecaster for 2025, and it's available on your website. And we want to talk about that. I know we've talked about it before. I used the 2024 Fish and Game Forecaster on a number of outings, and I found it to be quite accurate. And I know you've had other folks share the same experience with you.
Indeed.
So how does it work?
Well, the two of them, as you mentioned, the Fish and Game Forecaster and the Moon Clock, and they're both totally different. I'll give you the moon clock preparation because it's the simplest. It's only the moon, and it's the Earth's relationship to the moon. Moon up, moon over, moon under. It's like a lot of other things, but it's totally based on the moon. The Fish and Game Forecast is based on a whole bunch of other things, and actually it was devised by a group of guys in Edina, Minnesota, outside of Twin Cities, who were paid by Sperry Rand, I think, which is the forerunner of Sperry Univac, which is the forerunner of Unisys, and that business. The story is really kind of fun. Sperry came to these guys. They were one of the first group of fishing nerds and computer nerds, both of them, and they developed this thing to find out for Sperry how much information it would take to break the machine.
Uh-huh.
They did that. They never broke the machine, but they came up with the graphics that was output as an answer to all the information they put in there, which was the moon aspect, dusk and dawn, which we know are natural triggers. And then in the ensuing years, they took fishing tournaments. They did one with the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and they coordinated that with the information that they already had. That's the way they formularize these two things.
Okay. And the Moon Clock, of course, was put together originally by Doug Hannon, commonly known as the Bass Professor. He died a number of years ago, but well-known angler and very scientific approach to fishing, which made him stand out among anglers, I think.
Yeah, he was an amazing guy. We lost him way too soon. He was actually a great photographer, specifically of largemouth bass.
Uh-huh. He had an encyclopedic mind, I think, and of course, we still have the moon clock today, which we can use, and I mentioned that I use the Fish and Game Forecaster both for hunting and fishing, and I found during this past gun deer season, which just ended here recently in Wisconsin, that the activity I saw with deer moving during daylight hours corresponded with peak activity times as indicated for those days in the forecaster. It was remarkable. But you've got some stories as well that I'd like you to share with folks.
Yeah, I don't carry it with me all the time. I do use it for pre-planning, and actually there are a lot of folks that do that. For example, when Cabela's had their show on television, that's the way they plan their outings. If you have the book, you can plan it a year in advance. We go from January through the following hunting seasons end in January. I had several interesting pieces of information from different people that have used it. I love your stories. In terms of fishing, for example, it's always difficult to convince somebody that's never looked at it of its accuracy. It isn't 100% accurate because really the weather is the thing that controls the peak. When you have a cold front coming, the peaks are higher than they appear in the book. When you have it passed, they are depressed a little bit. But I had a friend on this little island that we go to in the summertime who's a fisherman, and he keeps a boat up on this little island. There was a tremendous bluefin tuna run very close to the island this year. And he came back and he was totally mystified. He said every single time he had gone out, it was right on the peak when they had the most explosive time catching the fish.
Uh-huh.
That's one of them. I was talking a little bit earlier with you, Dan, about the friend of mine that was from Columbus, Georgia, used it in Georgia for years, and he wrote me and sent me pictures of a trip that he did to South Africa. And
yeah.
He took the book with him. Now, I'm always happy if it works someplace other than the United States, but that really is the limit of where our advertising can go. But he said that he brought this book there. He harvested so many animals with a bow on the peak times. To me, that's a bonus.
Absolutely. Now, you were telling me before we started recording about kind of a freak accident you had, a run-in with a fish. Was that on a peak activity period?
I believe it was, and I only looked after the fact because, as I say, and a lot of people feel this way, and I agree, the best time to go fishing, hunting, and it coincidentally, it also works for birds. And that means if you're a bird watcher, you're more likely to see birds during the peaks. If you're a bird hunter, you know, you're more likely to see birds flying at those times. But what happened to me was I actually had injured my right shoulder last February in a kind of a freaky accident. It wasn't totally messed up, but I had an MRI and then I had some physical therapy and it was getting better. And the guy that did the examination on my shoulder happens to be a nut job fisherman as well. So my explanation to him is I don't need to be lifting hundreds of pounds. All I need you to do is fix it so that I can cast again.
Yeah.
So we laughed, and that's where I was going. And it began to feel better. And then I was down in the summer at the south side of this island jigging with one of Herb Reed's original sluggos. We were jigging actually for either bluefish or bass, striped bass.
Okay.
And the story I was telling you is I had a hit. I never saw the fish, beginning to end, but it yanked with such force that I almost lost the rod and reel. But it actually, I held on to it so hard that it tore my shoulder up a little bit more. Unfortunately, so much more that I'm going to have it fixed in January. But as long as I can go back out fishing, that's all I care about.
Wow, that's a great fishing story. Injured by a fish you never saw.
Exactly. And nobody could tell what it was. It was a hit and then just gone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could have been a ray, it could have been a shark, it could have been a tuna fish, but it almost stripped the reel before it pulled it hook.
Well, I had a similar experience minus the shoulder dislocation once fishing off Galveston. We were fishing with live shrimp for redfish, sea trout, and flounders, and something took a shrimp and headed for Mexico, and I couldn't stop it. It spooled me, and I just pointed the rod at the fish, and he popped the line, and that was that. And I looked at my friend, and, I mean, all we could think of was, I suppose, a ray or a shark, or maybe a giant redfish, but whatever it was, I never saw it. That happens once in a while, and that's one of the reasons we go fishing.
That's why they call it fishing and not catching, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we don't go fishing to lose them, but we go for the stories as well as catching.
Absolutely.
Well, back to the forecaster and the moon clock. Now, how can we get one?
You can get one by going to Data Sport, Inc. That's D-A-T-A as regular Data Sport, Inc. .com. There's some extra information there. It tells you what the difference is between the two products, and it's very easy to order. It's protected. I know this is towards the end of the year. It's a terrific stocking stuffer. It's a great thing anyway. I don't know if I can get it to folks before Christmas, but I can try. That's the best way to get it. There's a bunch of information, as I said. There's a couple of stories there.
Again, the website is datasportinc.com, and you can order both the original fish and game forecaster, 52nd edition, and Doug Hannon's moon clock as well. You can order them both right there. Well, John, thank you so much for spending time with us, and good luck with that shoulder, and a Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thanks, Dan, and the same to you, and thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. That was John Lehman, creator of the Fish and Game Forecaster. I'm Dan Small, more Outdoors Radio right after this.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth Gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot Breakwater Falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. They have new and used boats, pontoons, and lifts in stock. Great deals on 2024 models. Dan's 1750 Fishhawk has been sold. You lost out on your chance there. But they've got other boats in stock for you as well. And if you are that tardy to the party and you have not winterized the boat yet, they got supplies, or you can drop it off. Let them do it for you. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear. Performance camo wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com, and by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com.
Yeah, and if you haven't winterized your boat yet, you may be looking at a frozen lower unit, or better hope there's no water hanging around in there somewhere. You may have trouble next spring. Well, if our TV show, Outdoor Wisconsin, is not on the air where you live, you can watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And our Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special is available on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
And this radio show is online all the time. You can find it at LakeLink. Go to lake-link.com. While you're there looking at ice thicknesses and fishing reports, download the show and take it with you. You can also find it at outdoornews.com/podcasts. Dan's on social media at Dan Small Outdoors. You may find me in a couple places at Hardwater Jeff.
Well, Jeff, my voice is dying here, so why don't you finish up?
Yeah, no problem, Dan. We got Wisconsin's free winter fishing weekend. If you want to come and join the fun in Wisconsin here without a fishing license, January 18th through the 19th is the time to do it. Clubs and organizations have all across the state have different plans for your day as an adult or kids. You can join them. DNR will help you organize if you want to start your own clinic as well. Visit the DNR website, keywords Free Fishing Weekend, for details. And speaking about fishing, if you are somehow still fishing muskies, which maybe there is a diehard somewhere on a river, I don't know, man. You've got to be pretty crazy at this point. But it closes here.
I can't believe they're still doing it. But who knows?
December 31st, it closes up. It's not legal to target muskies through the ice. So if you catch one, you got to immediately release it. They are fun to catch. I've caught one on a tip up before, but you can't be targeting them. You got to be going after those northerns by the after the first of the year there, I suppose. DNR is offering a number of outdoor skills programs this winter, from learn to hunt pheasant hunts to deer butchering, wild game cooking, learn to fish, angler education, instructor training. For details on that stuff, visit the DNR website and their events page. And plenty of hunting left. Of course, you've got the archery and crossbow seasons running through January 5th or the 31st, depending on which zone you're in. The metro zones, of course, will go a little bit longer. You've got the holiday hunt going on this next week. Holiday antlerless hunt in the farmland zones, December 24th through the 1st. Turkey, pheasant, gray partridge, and northern zone grouse through January 5th. Crow through March 26th. Give that a shot. It's a lot of fun. And squirrel and cottontail through February 28th. You can nominate someone for this year's Ethical Hunter Award. The nominee must be a licensed Wisconsin hunter who displays exceptional moral actions and character in the field. Maybe they helped another hunter find lost game, assisted a novice hunter, or protected natural resources sometime during 2024. For details on how to nominate someone, visit the DNR website, keywords Ethical Hunter Award. 2025 will mark the 125th anniversary of Wisconsin's state park system. Look for all sorts of events at parks to commemorate this anniversary. For details of events on the DNR website, you can go to the keyword calendar. The first state park, interstate, Devil's Lake probably would be the the most common one, seeing how it's certainly the most popular here in the state of Wisconsin. But interstate, today there are 50 state parks, 44 state trails, 15 state forests, 9 state recreation areas, and 8 river and resource areas covering 307,000 acres of public land, all open to recreation. Congratulations on 125 years to the Wisconsin State Park System. We're happy to celebrate with you. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music and a schedule of his upcoming performances, visit warrennelson.com. Dan, I suppose some of your Christmas plans, resting that voice and getting yourself ready for next week, huh?
Yeah, that's all I'm going to do, I think. Shoveling a little snow. I moved some yesterday. We're recording this on Friday morning. And, well, we all had to move snow this week. But, well, you have a great Christmas, Jeff, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. I'm Jeff Kell, here with Dan Small. Merry Christmas to you. Get outside this weekend. Be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
On the gunnel. When my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lowe's knows how to help you save time and money, no matter the job.
That's why we can deliver supplies to your job site as soon as same day, so you have more time to get the job done. Because when you need it fast, we've got you covered. Lowe's knows pros. Valid on eligible in-stock orders and select zip codes placed by 2 p.m. for same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Fees vary based on purchase. More terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Today marks the start of a week of celebrations of the life and legacy of the late President Jimmy Carter. It all begins in his hometown of Plains, Georgia, where he will be buried after an official farewell in Washington. CBS's Mark Strassman joins us from Plains.
Jan Williams called Carter a friend for nearly 50 years. They worship together every Sunday at Maranatha Baptist Church.
I just want to go and stand by the casket for a few moments and just say out loud, thank you, Mr. Jimmy.
Former CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer, who covered the Carter White House, details how today will unfold.
Following the poignant remembrance in the Carter family hometown of Plains, the former president's body will travel to Atlanta. There will be a moment of silence at the state capitol, where he served as a state senator and, of course, governor. The coffin will then go to the Carter Center, where the public will be able to pay their respects.
Jimmy Carter died last Sunday at the age of 100. Federal authorities are warning